What we're doing today, guys, is we are launching a new series. This is part of our 2025 theme, Equip the Saints. And it's such a joy. We're actually going to hear from our senior minister very quickly here and also in Melbourne. So let's give Pastor John a big cheer. I'll release Ebony and our band. Thank you so much.
Hey, Sydney Powerhouse fam. As many of you are aware, in 2025, our theme is Equip the Saints for Ministry and Maturity. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul writes and talks about the ministry gifts of Jesus, or often called the fivefold gifts. We've been looking at the idea that the church operates best when there are five ministries of Jesus operating: the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral or shepherding, and the teaching streams. And so a healthy church has got five great streams flowing in it. And so part of our goal this year is to help you to identify what's the ministry grace that's on your life. What are you wired for? And often we can tell that by what fires us up, or where we've got fruit in our area, or maybe even if we're a bit frustrated that something's not happening. That's an indication of a ministry stream for us. And so we've been helping people identify, is it the apostolic? Is that your stream where you've got that sense of taking ground and breakthrough? Is the prophetic stream your stream, where it's the focus is on worship, the focus is on prayer, on intercession, on equipping people through prophetic ministry to people? Are you evangelistic? Do you love reaching lost people and want to win people to Christ? Do you have the grace of pastoral stream, ministry stream? So do you love people? You want to make sure they're well cared for, they're well loved? Or is it the teaching stream? You love the word and you want to bring that alive to everybody. So one of the things we've wanted to do this year is help you identify where's the fire of God in your life. What's the ministry stream that we can equip you to go even deeper into that grace on your life? The second thing, and just I like to think of it like this, just as everybody has five senses, the church needs these five streams, but all of us also, we need to grow in maturity to become more like Jesus. That means that we need to grow in areas that aren't our ministry grace. So a mature follower of Jesus has a spirit of faith and breakthrough. A mature follower of Jesus knows how to prophesy and encourage and pray and worship. A mature follower of Jesus, they might not be an evangelist by grace, but we all need to be soul winners. We all need to care about lost people. We might not be wired as pastors or pastoral, but we all need to love one another. And you might not have the grace or gifting of teaching, but we all need to love and understand the Word of God and the themes of the Word of God. So this is our focus this year. Help you to discover your ministry grace, but also help all of us to mature as saints to become more like Jesus in all of those five areas.
Hey, so good. Can we get Pastor John a hand? Wasn't that helpful? And what we've been doing in Melbourne too is every time we're preaching into all five for 3 weeks. And today we're launching 3 weeks in that teacher stream, which I'm very honored to be launching. And what we've been asking every time, like maybe you are drawn to two of them. It might be any of the five. And out of curiosity, give me a wave. Who thinks teacher would be in your top two? You love the Word of God, helping others grow in the Word of God, passionate about the Word of God. I see you in Melbourne. That's fantastic. Well, this is going to be so helpful for all of us, whether it is your preferred one or not. And I have to tell everyone here that I am really excited to preach this message. Do you want to know why I'm really excited? I'm really excited because there is nothing like the Word of God. Amen? There is nothing like the Word of God. Let's go straight into John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Are you with me, Melbourne? Let's read this together. In the beginning, when that word comes up, the word, I want you to say it out loud. Is that all right? All right, so in the beginning was the
Word.
Come on, Melbourne. And the
Word
was with God, and the
Word
was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. This is powerful. When we talk about the Word of God, we are talking about Jesus Christ himself. And I'm going to tell us here today that the Bible is so clear that the Word of God is alive and it is active. The Word of God is like a hammer, the Bible says, like a fire. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. His Word is eternal. Everything else will fade away, but the Word of the Lord lasts forever. All scripture is breathed by God. It is a weapon in our hands. Come on, this revelation can change our life as believers. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The only thing that God gave us in the armor of God that is offensive. The Word is a weapon in our hand, in our hearts, and in our mouth. And we are so blessed to have the Word of God. And the heart behind this series is that you and I together, us here on the Sunshine Coast, us in Melbourne and online, that we would go deeper in the Word. When we open the Word of God, which remember we just saw, it's Jesus, we should expect nothing less than an encounter with God. It's not like another book. It is the living Word. It is breathing Word. It is Christ himself. And I just want to encourage us, whenever we open the Word of God, let me say it again, we should expect nothing less than an encounter with God. And maybe you're here in the Sunshine Coast in this room, maybe in Melbourne, and you don't have a personal relationship with this man and the Lord I'm talking about, Jesus Christ. I want to let you know a little bit later in the service, I'm going to give you that opportunity, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. Right. Let me just launch this series with a few cool things about the Bible. And what I love about the Bible is whether you've been a Christian for 60 years or 60 minutes, maybe someone led you to the Lord out in the car park this morning, we all can grow a little bit more in our understanding of the Word. The Bible was written by over 40 authors over 1,500 years, yet is perfectly coherent with one main theme and message, which is Jesus Christ himself. The Bible contains 66 separate books, 39 in what we call the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament, with all kinds of different writings like law, history, poetry, which is Dave Crowder's favorite. I won't say which one, but there's one poetry book that he just absolutely loves. He asked me to preach on it today. Prophecy and letters. It was written in three different languages, in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in Greek. Do you know what's crazy? There is over 1,100 prophecies in the Old Testament. Think about this. Before people even knew Jesus was going to come or existed, there were over 300 prophecies about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ, and he fulfilled every single one of them. The Bible contains, are you ready for this? Most scholars believe over 7,000 promises for you and I. I did the math. If you and I read one new promise every day, 365 days, it'll take us over 19 years to get through every promise that God has for us in his Word. It is the most translated book in all of history. Historical research and archaeology confirm people, places, and events. And I'm just starting. I could go all day, but I'm going to stop there. But I want us to know here today, the Word of God is not like any other book. It is alive. It is active. In the beginning was the Word. And our job as believers, as disciples of Christ, whether we're called to be teachers or not, and the teachers in the room, this is going to light your boat. I can feel you already going, come on, let's go. And for others, maybe it's not your stream. That's okay. But as Pastor John said, we are all called as believers to go deeper in the Word of God. So let me launch this entire series with a question. Melbourne, I'm going to ask us a question. Warren and Jules, how is your current hunger levels for the Word of God? I want you to be completely honest with your own soul, with your own heart. Ask God, reflect, how is your passion right now for the Word of God? And we're believing in these next 3 weeks together, even I'm believing right here and now, we're all going to leave this place with an increased passion and hunger for the living Word of God. That we're going to be equipped on how to go deeper in the Word of God. And so today we're getting a little bit more deeper. Is that okay? Pastor Josh, Bible College, is that okay? We're going to go a little bit deeper so that you and I can all fall more in love with Christ and with His Word. Amen? So let me just pray. Is that okay? Can I open this in prayer? Melbourne, close your eyes as well. Let's reach out to Him. Lord, I thank You that You are here today. I pray that by Your Spirit, we would all get a fresh revelation and a fresh impartation and a fresh love and passion for the precious Word of God. I pray that each of us, Lord, as a result of this moment, we would wake up tomorrow morning, we would close the door behind us, we would go into that secret place where it's just You and I, where it's just us and You, and we would open Your Word. I pray that every one of us would go deeper in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. 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 So good. Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, to do this, we're actually going to be doing a Bible study of the book of James. The book of James. And we're launching a series called Doers of the Word, a study of James. We've got some great preachers. We've got Katie Haldane next week, both locations. Woohoo, she's amazing. And Ash Couchman, Isaac Childs, Isaac Sansom, going to be phenomenal. But there's a screen behind me. I want you to, this is going to come up every week, but it's just a little bit of a how we can go deeper when we're reading a book of the Bible. And you heard me say before, there are 66 different books. And so when we're reading one of the books of the Bible, like we are going to be doing for James, here's four great questions that can help us go deeper in our understanding. It'll help the Bible come alive to us in new ways. And just quickly, a cheat code for this is that we are actually selling a book here and in Melbourne called The Bible Companion. If we can get that other screen, please, team. We're selling two books. One is if you're a new Christian or a new believer, we're selling a new believer's Bible, which is perfect for your first Bible. It has some great helpful thoughts. And then we're selling this thing. I have this on my study desk at home where I read the Word of God. It's called The Bible Companion, written by Katie Haldane, who will be here next week and preaching in Melbourne. And so when we go to read the book of James, you just go on your Bible Companion, you flick to James, and there's just three pages. I love short, sharp books. Anyone else help me out here? I do not like long books, okay? And it's a short, sharp, helpful Bible Companion to go alongside you. So I encourage you, go buy them after the service in the coffee cart in Melbourne or just out in the Next Step Zone. But if we can go back to that first screen, as we go to launch into James, let's look at some of these questions together. Is that okay? So the first question is, who wrote it? The lucky thing about this one is it's in the title. The author of the book we're studying together was a man named James. You may not know this. He was actually the half-brother of Jesus, known as James the Just. He was actually once an unbeliever. We read in John 7 that when Jesus was alive, his brothers were unbelievers. So James actually did not believe that he was the Messiah. And isn't this just quickly amazing to think that, imagine your brother, like the person you grew up with, the person you were wrestling with, sock wrestling, I don't know what they did back then, you know, the one you would push around and have fun with, and one day he's saying to you that he is the Messiah. Can you put yourself in James's shoes? Wouldn't that have been challenging? And it actually, from our understanding, it wasn't until after the resurrection, so Jesus died on that cross, 3 days in the grave, comes alive, and he resurrects from the dead, and that's when James actually becomes a believer. Who was James? He was actually the leader or a pillar of the Jerusalem church. And that's the church that was birthed on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. They're in the upper room, the Spirit comes, 3,000 people get saved. Paul and Peter were once based there, but they end up going and they're separated and get sent by God to go start new churches and carry the gospel. But the man who we're reading this book from actually stayed in Jerusalem and was the leader in Jerusalem. He was remembered as a man of holiness and prayer. And what's interesting to note is he's not the pastoral lovey-dovey type, okay? He's not the Pastor Kathy Clancy and Sharon and Pastor Rod Frecker and Katrina. Like he's actually quite a teacher. And what's really interesting is he goes into things that actually, as we're reading it, come across quite harsh. He is not the pastor. He is poetically slapping us back and forth in the head as we go into deeper things, okay? Good to know who's the author of the book. So when was it written? Just quickly, who thought you'd be going to Bible college today? Is this good? You enjoying this, Melvin? I hope you're learning something. It was, most theologians believe it was written in the AD 40s or early 50s. James was actually martyred. He was killed in AD 62. What's interesting, just quickly to note, is it's perhaps one of the first of the New Testament books written, definitely decades before the gospel were written, and most likely before most if not all of Paul's letters are written. And so it's just interesting to know that when James is writing this, we're as close as we believe to Jesus ascending. It's the early church. It is, at this time, mainly Jewish Christians. It hasn't so much gone to the Gentiles yet. The context of the church, it was predominantly Jewish Christian, and it was scattered all throughout. It wasn't just in one place, and we'll come to this, but that's kind of the state of the church, is through the Roman Empire, there's deep social inequality. The people James is writing to are struggling. A lot of them are struggling with poverty and inequalities, and it's a very tough season for these people in house churches all around. Third question is, why did they write it? This is a great question to ask. So when you go home today and you're reading 1 Samuel, go through these same questions. Who is he writing to? As I just shared, we read it in James 1. The audience is the Jewish believers that are scattered to the 12 tribes. And he's actually writing a letter here that would go to all of those small house churches. It's an encouragement to live authentic with spirit-filled faith in a challenging season. There are themes, and we're going to go through these, like trials. How do we endure trials? Through wisdom. How do we grow in wisdom? Through being doers of the word, which we're going to talk about today, and other great things. And lastly, what did James write? So what did they write? This was a letter. And so what I want you to imagine is James writes this as a letter. He most probably is talking out loud and a scribe's writing it. And then they literally take this letter, okay? Can you go back to a time when we didn't have Instagram and the internet, okay? And so someone would race this letter around and would literally go to the house churches. And they'd be so excited. There's a letter from James. And they would open it and read it to the congregation. That's what letters like this were originally written for, to encourage the churches. So I know we went quite deep there, but this will set us up for this whole series, okay? And I remember when I first learned how to do this, it was a game changer, Melbourne. It was a game changer in seeing the text come alive in a new way. You can picture the church leaders reading this to the people. You can picture who James is, the half-brother of Jesus, writing these words. And I just find it brings the Bible alive in a whole new way. So here this morning, I'm going to be covering one theme in James chapter 1, the theme of listening and doing. Why doesn't everyone say that? Say listening and doing. Tonight, and Melbourne, you can jump on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about the theme in the book of James chapter 1 of trials and temptations. James is that crazy guy who said, count it all joy when you encounter trials of various kinds. Like, what are you talking about, James? Like, what do you mean? So we're going to talk about that tonight. Jump on the podcast. All right, I want everyone just to take a deep breath, go, breathe out. Turn to the person next to you, say, are you ready to go deeper? Tiani and Keely on the front row, are you ready to go deeper? We're ready. All right, well, we're going to turn our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Melbourne, James chapter 1. We're going to read verse 22 to verse 25. The half-brother of Jesus, writing to the church scattered. He said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Once again, do you feel that little slap? Like, do what it says, Dan. Do what it says. All right. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror. I want you to picture, look at the face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Isn't that an amazing just like picture, imagery there? James is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. Verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, talking of the Word of God, and continues in it, Melbourne, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. Everyone say doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. Woo, isn't that a powerful promise? Do you want to be blessed in all you do? Do you want to be blessed in your family, blessed in your marriage? Do we want to be blessed in our health and our finances and our walk with Jesus? And I love this because James is saying, and it's such a theme through Scripture, Joshua talks about it, the Psalms talk about it. If you want the blessing of God to flow into your life and my life, we need to do what the Word of God says to do. And I have two simple points here that are going to help us in this. The first one is we need to receive His Word daily. Receive His Word daily. See, James's main point in this passage and this theme all throughout his book is that we're not to be just listeners of the Word, not to just be hearers of the word. Another way we could word it, not just to be readers of the word, not just to listen to lots of awesome podcasts of preachers of the word, but we need to be doers of the word. That the power of the revelation God gives you and I is what we do with it. What we do with it. And I will get to that, but it actually begs the point that to be doers of the word, we actually need to begin in being hearers of the word, right? How can we do something we don't receive? And so I want to encourage us that we need to build a habit into our life of receiving the word every day. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you a question, Brooklyn. How is the Holy Spirit inviting you and I to go deeper in receiving His word every day? Because one thing I know is both you and I have something in common. We can grow in our Bible life. We have never arrived. It's not like we get to a point where we're reading the perfect amount of scripture and it's just like, yep, tick, until he goes to heaven, he's good. Like, come on, we can all grow. And I want us all to ask the Holy Spirit today, what does that look like in this season? Maybe you're a young mum right now with four crazy kids running around everywhere. It's going to be different. And maybe you're a man in your 70s and you've got more time on your hand. Maybe you're a young person at school and you're learning how to read the Bible. Maybe like this is all new to you and you got saved a few weeks ago. What I love about this is wherever we are on the journey and whatever season of life we're in, we can all look to the Lord who knows us, knows our season, and say, Lord, what do you want me to grow in this season? And I really believe that there are a few habits in our life that can radically transform our life and our future, like reading the Word of God daily. You've heard it 100 times, I've heard it 100 times. It's simple, but it's so powerful, and it's so tempting to wander away from this, isn't it? I know for me, I've gone through many seasons as a believer where I started strong and I've got a Bible reading plan, and yeah, this is the year, I do Bible in a year, and we get to February and we get to March, and isn't it amazing how quickly as believers we can wander away from reading the Word every day? We read the word with the goal of asking, God, what do you want to say to me today? Yeah. It's not for knowledge, just for knowledge. It's for revelation. It. Where the Logos, which is the whole word of God and the truth of God, becomes a rhema, which is a Holy Spirit breathed word for God for us. That's the goal. That's the goal. And I've discovered personally in my walk with the Lord and as a pastor that the number one way God will speak to His people is by His Spirit through the Word of God. the number one way God is going to speak to you and to me is through this one habit of every morning getting up early, opening the Word of God, and with a receptive heart saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to reveal to me today about Jesus? That's the number one way He will speak to us. When I open my Bible, I am looking into the face of Jesus. He is the Word. We should expect nothing less than an encounter with God. And it constantly amazes me how I can be reading the Word of God and God can speak exactly to the situation I'm facing right now. I won't go into all the details, but a few years ago, we had a moment where we were trying to find venues for our location in Melbourne East, and the season we were in is I was just exhausted after a big year of just getting us all out of lockdown and back in the world, church life, and I just remember I was very tired in the season, and something happened one day where we were at church, we were rehearsing music, and a neighbor of like where our church was, someone lives around that area, and they just like came out incredibly violent, incredibly angry, was like demanding to meet with me. And like, it was just like a horrible, yucky moment where this guy was incredibly aggressive, very upset, ready to fight, kind of like, it was just an awkward, yucky, threatening. It was just a yucky situation. I don't need to go into all the details. But because of where I was personally, and there was something about it that was just quite yucky, it really, really got to me. And I found myself in an incredibly, like, just dark place, so discouraged, overwhelmed by fear and intimidation. And it became a spiritual battle for me. And it was like such a unique situation, right? Like, where in the Bible is it going to talk about neighbors of your church in Melbourne trying to punch you? Like, where is it going to say that? And I'm really struggling, like just being honest. And I remember I got up that next day, as was my habit. Even though I did not feel like it, I was in such a bad place. And I opened my Bible in a year, and I'm in the book of Jeremiah of all places. Let me quickly read this verse to you. In 15 verse 20, they will fight against you like an attacking army. But I will make you secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer you, for I am with you to protect you and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Yes, I will certainly keep you safe from these wicked men, and I will rescue you from their cruel hands. Wow. Is that awesome? But I got to tell you guys, like that, like it was like the Lord whispering into my ear exactly what I needed to hear. And you know what? I wept and I wept and I wept as I heard the voice of God for me. But I imagine what could have happened if I didn't have this habit in my life. If I wasn't receiving the Word of God daily and getting up, I would have missed out on the voice of God that I needed to hear. And I've discovered this. God wants to speak to you and to me. Okay, Melbourne, God wants to speak. I want you to imagine like a radio casting, and right now, if you and I were in our car and we went to the FM, we can get the transmitter, right? And we can listen and hear the radio. But right now, you and I can't hear it, can we? It's in the atmosphere. I don't even know the science. Maybe someone way smarter than me. Maybe Dan Lambert can help me out. But there's a radio frequency, and all you and I need to do to hear it is to position ourselves and tune in. I want to tell you, every single day you have a Father in heaven who wants to speak the Word of God to you. Or it's here now. He wants to speak and He is speaking. So the decision is just like I turn on the radio, will you and I wake up tomorrow morning, get on our knees, shut the door, get in the secret place, open the Word of God. We're tuning in. And then what the Lord is speaking, we can hear the Word of the Lord. But we need this habit of opening the Word, of receiving His Word. And I want to encourage us all, if you want to hear the voice of God, we need this habit in our life. Amen? We receive words of encouragement, of comfort, of hope, of instruction, of correction and rebuke. We receive promises for our life, over our family, our future and our finances. We receive prophetic visions and dreams over our calling, our future and our destiny. We receive God's voice into specific situations we're facing now when we open the Word of God. So what can we do? Let's keep showing up to that place. Tomorrow morning, let's all open the Word of God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for help. I aim every time I open the Bible, I pray first. And I just take a moment and say, Holy Spirit, help me to hear your voice today. I encourage us, let's journal and write out what God is saying and what's standing out to you from the Scripture. Amen? Has anyone here heard of the love languages? Do you know like the love languages? Yep. Like obviously, like give me away. Who's like a words of affirmation person? That's the best one. Yes. Okay. Who is a physical touch? Every man in the room, some women. I don't know why Dave and Sharon, like why did God make it that we all marry someone with different love languages than us, right? Is anyone here a quality time person? Pastor Josh reckons that that's just like a bottomless hole of like time and how do we do that? And Teresa was telling me, if you're an acts of service person, who's an acts of service person? Like, I always laugh. I said, Ebony, mine is so easy. Just write me a letter and give me a hug. It's not hard. Yours is time and service. It's hours. Anyway, we're all different. Like a hug's not hard. Come on. Even if you're not a touchy person, but like cleaning the dishes? Oh. Sorry, just doing my public marriage counseling. But something I did learn when I got married is actions speak louder than words. She didn't want me to write her another flipping poem. She wanted me to put my dirty undies in the thing. She didn't want me to write her a love letter and hug her and cuddle up to her. She wanted me to do the dishes. I feel so much better right now. Anyway. My first thought was we need to receive the word, but this is only half the equation. What are we actually going to do with the revelation he gives us? And the second half of this equation is we actually need to do it. We need to do it. My second thought, my final thought, is to be doers of the word. Doers of the word. I remember a season I was really struggling with insecurity, intimidation and confidence. And one day I heard God say to me out of James chapter 4, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And as per my custom, I was journaling out, all right, Lord, what are you saying to me through this? And I felt him say, Dan, I want you in your prayer life to spend time, like submit to me and speak the word of God. I don't know if you've heard of I am statements, but he was telling me that's what I want you to do. And I want you to resist the devil. And I wrote that down. I said, that's awesome, God. 2 months later, I come back. God, I'm struggling with intimidation and anxiety and I'm so insecure. I'm like, what do you want me to do, God? What's going on? And he says, Dan, James chapter 4. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. I realized I hadn't done what he asked me to do. Then I get distracted. Life gets full again. And 2 months later, oh God, I'm struggling with intimidation and anxiety and fear. Like, what's going on? Like, why have you abandoned me, God? And he's like, James chapter 4. I don't care. Give me something else. James chapter 4. See, God had given me what I needed to break through. What was the problem? I hadn't done it yet. James was saying to the church scattered, guys, do not just be hearers of the word, but do what it says. Do what it says. We need to make sure we're not just reading our Bibles. Is this helpful, Melbourne? We're not just listening to podcasts or the latest sermon from the latest preacher. We're not just watching Instagram reels and TikToks of preachers for 30 seconds. But we're actually changing our behavior and letting the Holy Spirit transform us that when he speaks to us, we will do what he says. This is where transformation happens. And this is where James was saying, guys, I love you so much. I want you to be blessed in all you do. But maybe the temptation for the church was, we know what Jesus said. I understand the words. I understand what the word of God says, but they had a trouble with translating that to action. And James came alongside them and said, guys, I love you. I love you. Slap, slap. Be doers of the word. Be doers. This one's going to hurt. Many of us can be educated with knowledge way above our level of obedience. See, it's not just about how many verses and scriptures we know. Now, this is all good. It's not bad. But we need to have a level of obedience that when God speaks to us, we will act on it and obey. Can God trust you and trust me that if tomorrow he spoke to us through his word, we would actually do what it says? Or would it take 6 months like it did for me? Can I end on one more passage of scripture? Is that okay, Melbourne? We've been hearing from James. Let's look to the voice of Jesus. Matthew 7, 25, verse 27. This is the Lord speaking. It's the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, his most famous sermon. He just spoke the word of the Lord. Amazing, amazing teaching. And he lands it here. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, everyone say does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Yeah. See, that's the goal. But let me read the danger. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine, so they still receive the word, they still heard the word, they still know the verses, they still receive it, but does not do them. See, what's the difference between these two tales, these two stories, is not if we receive the word and hear the word. The difference between person A and person B was, what did they do with it? And unfortunately for this person, who is the danger for all of us as Christians, the rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. One man put into practice what he received from God and is a doer of the word. The second person was just a hearer only. You and I have a decision today, friend. And James is encouraging the believers, as the Holy Spirit through James is encouraging you and I here in Melbourne at New Street, here in the room at Premier Circuit. Will we be someone who is a hearer of the word only, or a doer of the word? And if I can end with one last scripture, James 1, 25, the same scripture, a different version. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So church, here's our challenge today. I'm talking to myself. Are we going to be a hearer who forgets or a doer who acts? Love to invite the band up both locations. We got this. We can do this, right? And one practical thing for me I love to do is, as I'm hearing from God every day, I'm journaling, I try to write down when God says to actually do something. This is a lesson I'm learning. I'm not perfect in. But we don't want to be people who just read the Bible in the morning and pray, and then it's almost like we just forget about Jesus till the next day, and then we wait. Like, I've tried to work on, all right, Lord, when you say something, I'm going to prioritize it. Because often it's not just disobedience that's our temptation, but distraction. And I've found for me, sometimes I'll email myself. Sometimes I actually have a Evernote that's just called God's Whisper, when he tells me to do something. And then I'll have time once a week when I will reflect, how am I going with doing what he said? And here's the good news, as we are faithful with what he reveals to us, the Bible says he will reveal even more. Let's be doers of the word. So if I can land today with one last question, I asked it at the start. How is the Holy Spirit inviting you to go deeper in your word life? And what is your next step to go deeper in the word? Melbourne, I love you guys so much. Can't wait to be with you next Sunday. And I'm just so proud of every one of you. I'm going to hand back to the mighty Tiani right now. God bless you as I do that, guys. Love you.